Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
4, 3... Sorry. I felt it around 4.
Keeping it in.
Keep it in.
I felt it in the back.
I won't keep it in.
And 5, 4, leave it. 3. What up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Here's the Thing. I'm Kevin on stage.
That chick.
Welcome to another podcast episode. Smash that like button. Smash that notification button. Banger, 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 all 2021. Welcome to another podcast.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm Kevin. She's Angel. He's Joshy Gons. Yes, you're you. Thank you for watching this podcast. I just want to quickly say, most of our episodes do over 100K on YouTube alone.
I seen it.
We took them off Facebook. People were like, where they been at? For the safety of the brand.
For the safety.
They just stay on YouTube.
And we're not getting paid for any of those 100,000 views
we're
anymore.
Not. YouTube, the app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. So thank you guys so much for being here. Church announcements.
Church.
The tour has almost begun.
It's almost on its way.
Angel, are you ready?
I'm close. I started writing for real. So we're going to see where that lands me.
Salt Lake City, you're up first. Tacoma, at the time of this, Tacoma's halfway sold out. By the time this airs,
it'll be
more than that. Angel joins us in June. Mm. Is the first show you join in Kentucky?
Yeah.
Lexington?
Yeah.
Ooh, is your mom finna come?
To every show.
Mama Dorothy?
Peter Kane. So did Mama Dorothy.
Yes.
So go to kevonstage.com. Check your cities. I will announce. Some cities are not announced or links are not live yet. Charlotte, Atlanta, so on and so forth. I will make an announcement when they're live. Of course, Patreon probably will know first.
Yep.
Because I show love to my people. All right.
First
story on the...
this is such a good story.
On the docket. L.A. woman arrested for keeping $1.2 million accidentally deposited into her account.
Did you say L.A. woman? New Orleans.
Oh, is it New Orleans?
Yes.
Why did it say L.A.?
How much?
New Orleans woman arrested for keeping $1.2 million accidentally deposited into her account.
They were only supposed to deposit, get this, $82. And she saw them numbers and was like, "Wet Lord, is that you?
You got to put the picture here, Josh." Her face looked like, what make you think I was going to get that back?
She's like, I couldn't even tell that it was wrong. I just said, you know what? Let me see if I spend some of this.
Listen to this part of the story. Authorities claim the 33-year-old woman immediately transferred the money into another bank account.
Yes.
Before spending chunks of it on a new car and a new house. What you think I'm finna do with it?
What you think I'm gonna do?
Leave it in here so y'all can take it back?
Absolutely not. I'd be on that bank app so quick. I'm just gonna move this over here.
Let me do a little wire transfer. Oh, you got a big deposit? You know I won the lottery. Won a house. Anyway, Wells Fargo, 736-8912-1111.
You go to the bank. Where the high yield account yes. helpers at? Excuse me.
I would like to take all of it out, and I'm putting it in my mattress. Thank you.
Listen.
And they were like, she won't respond to our phone calls. We have attempted to get a hold of her. I don't know y'all's number.
Within 2 hours, I have a secretary and an assistant.
Right.
I don't have a phone anymore. You can't get a hold of me.
Yeah, there's no way. Don't at me. It's not happening. You shouldn't have did it.
She said, the captain, Jason Rivardi, said, it's not her money. She has no legal claim to that money. Even if it was put in there by mistake, it was an accounting error. as they say in the hood, ah. Sucks to be you guys.
Then we're going to have to get back this whole country.
Say that.
We're going to have to get back this whole country.
Say that.
Oh, my goodness.
You know how quick you got that money? She bought a house. They're only able to cover about 75% of that. Quick maths, Joshy, Angel.
Oh,
75%, that's so about 80K, 82?
That's over, no, 250,000.
Oh, no.
So a little bit more than, no, that's how much she kept. 275,000, something like that?
275.
Because it was 1.2 million. They recovered 75%.
They recovered, I thought she was able to keep 75.
No, she kept 25%.
Oh, yeah, so definitely in the 200s.
So, yeah, there's like maybe 300,000 she kept.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
In New Orleans, you get a nice little crib.
Listen, she bought a house, expensive flashy items, a 2021 Hyundai Genesis sports utility car.
That's right. That's my Lexus friend.
She lived in her means.
Yes, that's my Lexus friend. She said, I need something reliable. I don't need nothing. Because when they come and they're not going to let me spend this money.
She had a million on her vision board to where she had every expense down
there
to the T.
There you go.
She remember Liar? I mean, not Liar, Liar. Dumb and Dumber when they got the briefcase? And they're like, Lamborghini, $275. You might want to keep that. That's her. They basically gave her a proverbial briefcase full of money.
Yeah.
And because she knew it was a mistake, I got to spend it.
Mm. Right. Or even if she didn't know it was a mistake, I would be like, Lord, if this is you, let me not waste your blessing.
Right.
Let me use the gift now. Would they say, if you don't use your gift, you lose your gift?
She did not bury her talent in the ground.
Oh, no.
I've never questioned the blessing of God.
No, and I never will. No. Who am I to question the Lord and Savior, Jesus Cristo?
Listen, I will be thinking some rich person out there is just tired and they just wanted to give away money. Have you ever had dreams and wishes that you would just befriended someone old and wealthy and they just were like, you, in the will?
I've had that thought. Especially in my broke days. Man, what if I just woke up one day and there was $25,000 in my account? I remember when I first crossed over to $1,000 in my bank account.
Oh,
I got my taxes back and I did them on TurboTax myself. And I was like, I don't know if this is right. So let me, I went and checked my balance at the ATM. It was like $1,908. And I was like, I got four numbers.
I got a comma.
Before the decimal point, a comma?
A comma.
I took my black behind down to Portland and bought a $600 bass guitar.
You are an a-hole. I almost cussed and I was like, this is a family show.
I didn't see $1,000 for like six more years.
I can't. But what does it feel like to be, you're about to be that old person that people are hoping decides to write a check and put it in their account? You're about to be that guy. I just hope one day Kev just says, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to give $1 million away to somebody.
Y'all like, better. Y'all got a better chance of Willy Wonka covering up being rich.
Willy Wonka.
I got family. They get their deposit.
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing. When you're black.
When you're black, you don't have a chance.
And we are the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Family is the Make-A-Wish, okay?
I got a funny story to tell you about fake money. I went to an ATM when I was young. First real bank account. I was down to Wells Fargo. And an ATM was broken and I was checking my balance and I asked for $20 and it gave me like $800.
Oh,
okay. I was like, oh yes, I am rich. I didn't spend it. Right. Went down to the bank, kept the 800, put it under my mattress, something like that. Like the weekend came, the bank called me back or called me like, hey, we noticed the ATM was, you know, on the fritz. And says you have $800. And I was like, dang, right? I go up there with my dad in the car. The police are going to be on their way to arrest you. And I was like, wow, I didn't do nothing. All I did was ask for 20. It gave me 800.
Right.
So I got the money in my pocket because I don't want to go to jail. Me and my dad are sitting in front of the lady. It's a black lady. She was like, look, man, it was our mistake. We really can't legally do anything to you. So if you have like 100 of the money back or 200, we'll make it even. I was like, this is perfect. My dad was like, give it all to her.
Of course. And I was like, my mother would say some stupid mess like that. You'd be so mad. You're dumb. That's what I'd be thinking. You're dumb.
My dad made me give all 800 back.
Oh, man.
When all she wanted was 200. They was just going to adjust my account and say, you know, basically our bad. Machine was tripping. Because it came out like, you know, the ATM was like, yeah. Like, you know. It was like 20, and I was like, yes, I'll live another day. And it was like, chunk. I was like,
excuse me.
I just grabbed it and I looked right into the camera. I was like, it's me, Kevin. And I was just like, well, see your pores. Because I was in high school at this time.
Oh, yeah.
800?
800. Now, mind you, this is when I worked at Burger King.
Yeah.
And my check was $87.30. And I was like, don't look at me, your pores. I'm finna buy some Jordans.
Instantly moist is what I would have been at. I'd be like, oh, God. Oh, oh my God. I would not have been no good for the rest of the day. Just rubbing the money on my face. Oh, yeah. $800.
Isn't it crazy how at one point in our life, $800 was like.
What do you mean, one point? $800 today
it's
if I find it.
It's still a lot of money, Kevin.
It's $800. Okay,
we
maybe
are
not
the pores.
Okay.
$800. Angel is a SAG actress.
Do you know how many of us are broke? Look at the stats. $800, yeah, today.
You would not, Angel.
$800. I wish Marcus was watching this right now. He'd be like, yup, blue chew,
hard.
Speaking of which, we're going to give a shout out to our first sponsor, and we will be right back.
Oh, man.
What's up, guys? You all know that we love ShipStation over here at Here's the Thing, and they love us as well. So if you started your own store and you're selling your own products, we want you to start using ShipStation because they make fulfilling your orders so much easier. It's simple to import and manage and ship your orders out fast and for less money. It's no wonder ShipStation is has a number one shipping software for e-commerce sellers with more 5-star ratings than anyone else. You can import orders from any sales channel, ship with any carrier using their deeply discounted rates, and it automates just about any shipping task. I know with Mama Likes, having to be able to put things on different websites so that we can sell more boxes this time around, ShipStation is definitely helping us so that we can pull our stuff over from Etsy. We can pull stuff from the Mama Likes shop. I know Kev uses it for all the merchandise they have.
Absolutely.
As well as Mrs. Kev on stage. So we want you to give ShipStation a try. You'll even have access to amazing discounts with major carriers, including UPS, FedEx, and USPS. Easily compare carriers and choose the best solution every time. With ShipStation, small businesses can now access the same rates usually reserved for Fortune 500 companies without the contracts or commitment.
That sounds amazing, Angel.
It sounds amazing. Ship more for less in less time. Just use our offer code CREW to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free, no hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in CREW. K-R-E-W. That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code CREW. Make ship happen.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you to our sponsors, Angel.
What's going on with you over there? Did you lick a sweater?
What happened?
Did you lick the mic again?
Oh, it was lemon. It was a lemon for my drink.
Oh, okay.
So I just want to go down Angel's IMDb real quick. She always gets on me for saying ER.
No,
let me let y'all know.
This is worse than you saying ER than to go down my IMDb.
Angel, I need you to know. This is Angel's IMDb. Watch this here, Angel. Look. Look, Angel. Hold on, Angel. This means, why am I scroll going? Look at this. Credits. Now let me pull up Kevin Fredericks.
Listen. No, don't.
Let me tell you how many things that Kevin Fredericks, he ain't paid his IMDb bill. His picture ain't on here no more.
Why you ain't paid your bill?
I paid it.
Is it expensive?
I
think
no.
It's like $45 a month. I mean, a year.
I was about to say, not a month.
Hold on, bro. That's...
I got nine. Actually, I got more than I thought.
Come on.
I got nine. Well, almost all this is my stuff.
It don't matter. It's stuff.
Nine writing credits, 14 producers. Oh, I did produce. Oh, Will from Home is on here.
Okay, so exactly.
Hold on.
Exactly. Kevin Frederick.
Oh, wait.
Why?
I didn't get to. I can talk about this now.
Is it on there?
My NDA is over because it's on IMDb.
Let me see what you
look doing. look under producer. Look right under Dustin Nickerson, Overwhelmed. Look what producer is under there. Look under the angel when you get to it.
You said women. Women, look under.
Look under producer credits, 14. Uh-huh. Look under Dustin Dickerson overall.
Uh-huh, I see.
You see what it says?
Yes, I do.
Will from home.
Talk about it.
I never was able to talk about this publicly because I signed the NDA. Will Smith, friend of the pod, had a Snapchat show that I was like a writer producer on. I didn't know I could talk about it, but now that I'm credited on IMDb,
it's public knowledge now.
So yeah, homegirl, black woman, by the way,
mm-hmm.
black woman hooked that job up at the very beginning of the pandemic.
Panic.
She was like, "Yo, Will got this show on Snapchat. You want to write?" And I was like, "Yes," because this is like the week all my gigs got canceled, mm-hmm. and I had nothing to do. So for about 3 weeks, I was on Zooms with Will Smith, pitching him ideas, and he was laughing. Him personally, Angel, he was in a little square.
Not just him in a painting.
Not just him in a business. After I met Will, but before we did the Facebook show. So I was in there in the writer's room. I said, "Will, what about this?" And he said, "Ha, ha, ha, that's hot." And I was like,
"Ah!"
Dang, I wish I would have come. Because I showed this sneaker picture.
Summary. It says, "In this time of isolation and uncertainty, you're invited to spend a few minutes hanging out with Will Smith in his garage. In each short form episode, Will from home finds Will doing what he loves most, bringing the laughs, talking to his friends and family, and helping out whenever he can."
Yeah, I sat down there.
And they gave you producer
credit.
They
gave me story producer credit. Oh, wow. Clayton English was on there. Yeah, he did.
Now that's fire.
Dang, Cal, I didn't even know.
Okay, then. Exactly. Okay, this will be my thing then for you.
Don't you?
This is, you know, you produce.
Why does ER bother you? You did 3 seasons as Nurse Dawn Archer.
Oh my God, I'm gonna kill you.
It's a thing to be proud of.
I am proud of
ER. Is an amazing show.
That's it.
All right. In other news. Ow.
Hey,
this is a weird story.
Yes.
This is a weird story, guys. I be spending a lot of time on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and I see crazy stuff. Also, if your kids log into your YouTube, your algorithm is destroyed.
Oh, my kids are annoying. Orange and Ryan.
Ryan is big in that community.
Yes.
Baby on stage, big fan of Ryan. She also knew Jake Paul's little brother, Titus. Mm-hmm. So when he was fighting, she was like, "That's Titus' brother." We were like, "Girl, hush."
And baby on stage and Sai get along because they watch the same stuff.
Yeah.
They best friends. Oh, wow.
So there is a story about the 2000... What year was it? The 2000 Paralympic Games. Okay. Let me just give you the short end of this. Mm-hmm. This is the Paralympic Games, which means people are usually special needs or disabled mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Here's the story.
Please.
The Spanish team, okay, for their Paralympic Games fielded a team without people with special needs.
Stop it.
And played teams that had special needs.
That's the ringer.
So it is. So in the Paralympic Games, especially in basketball, you can field people with intellectual disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a test and be like, okay, you know, you ain't as intelligent right. as other people. You can play on this basketball team. Spain was like, we need to win a gold medal because Tough. It'll get this nonprofit more gifts. So what they did is say, let's just field this team of regular basketball players and y'all just take this test. Don't be so obvious that y'all ain't, you know, special needs. But then they was in the games blowing teams out by 30 and 40.
That is terrible.
When they won and in the Spanish newspaper, they posted the gold medal picture. People were like, "This what?
Did he look like he just okay?" Like,
no. They were like, "This is my dude from high school. There's nothing wrong with him."
Oh no.
No, this is my. I work with this dude. He's not special needs.
He's an engineer.
He's a regular. And they was. And if you look at the clip, it's on YouTube. These men are going between their legs. They're behind the.
No way.
Serious.
How were they faking a disability?
Because it was intellectual. They were just faking the test. So they had somebody go in the test and basically figured out how to make it look like they were not special needs, but not so far they couldn't play, but not so normal that they couldn't play. So they get like the perfect number that was like, okay, you probably have an intellectual disability. It was so bad that they had to take out intellectual disabilities for that sport moving forward.
Okay, you know the saying, stealing candy from a baby. This is what this like feels like.
Equivalent. Definite like, equivalent.
This is exact. I'm like, okay, why couldn't you all just get some other people that were actually differently abled?
Yes.
And have them play. Y'all said, no, we're going to take somebody real good.
So, but my thing is, as a competitor, you playing people who are special need. What do you get out of it? Because although this is, you know, nefarious, I get the capitalism. I'm trying to open up. I'm trying to keep the doors open. Terrible, terrible. The actual player being like, hey, man, just act like you ain't smart. But when we go out there, hoop. But don't hoop so much that it's obvious. But also, we got to make sure we win.
I just can't understand how, like, because I'm sure they played some basketball teams where the people had, like, more than just mental challenges, where they were actual physical challenges. How can you cross over somebody who you know is, like, can't barely see,
right?
Or possibly just motor skills just shot all to hell. How do you do that and not be like, you know what, let me just go ahead and foul you so you can get some free throws.
That's my issue. I'm too competitive to ever do this. I think anytime I think, man, you know what, as a society, humans, we be trash. We can't get no more trash than this. Fielding a team full of people who are not differently abled and blowing out teams that are differently abled for a gold medal.
I've heard people getting a ringer, like,
yes,
ringer, but a whole team.
Euro like, stepping, no shot.
Not Euro like, stepping.
They don't think that one, if they would have just had, like, only cheat a little bit. Why cheat the whole way?
The guy who made the documentary was asking that. He was like, okay, one or two, that's, I get it. The dude was like, nah, y'all don't understand. We have to win this gold medal.
Damn.
You don't, we can't, man. We can't risk it. Y'all get out here and hoop for real. So apparently by the time, yes, 10 Angel, 10 of 12.
Oh my God.
10 of 12.
I can't.
Are not differently able. Now when they get home, it's in the newspaper. The newspaper, well, the newspaper runs the gold medal store before they even leave.
Uh-huh.
By the time they land back in Spain, they had to vacate the medal.
Of course.
And now they're doggone international. Actually, I don't know how international it is because I never heard of the story. This randomly popped
and
up on my YouTube.
This was back in 2017, or did he just write the documentary?
No, this happened in the year 2000.
Oh, wow. 21 years ago.
And I never heard of it. Do you hear of it? Mm-mm. Do you hear of it, Josh? Mm. It wasn't a big story. The documentary is called The Greatest Paralympic Scandal of All Time. It's on YouTube. Patreon, you're watching live. I will put the link in the comments. Y'all should definitely check it out. But yes, I was like, greed, corruption. Like, I'm okay with a little corruption. I'm okay with, I want my AAU team to win. I'm going to get a kid who doesn't live in our neighborhood to play. Or maybe the team's supposed to be 11. He's 12.
Right.
Here and there.
Here and there.
To win the an Olympics that are designed for differently able people to compete on a level playing field. And you fielding a team with 10 people who are not differently abled. I come on now.
I'm watching bits of this documentary as we talk. To convincingly fail an IQ test, or not fail because there's no pass or fail, but to convincingly hit the score in which you need to hit in order to be considered to be mentally, have mental challenges to be a part of the Paralympics is difficult.
Yes.
Like to like hit that like range convincingly.
Yep.
All the work that they must have had to do to train these men, they couldn't train some people that actually qualified physically.
That's what I'm saying. Why? And also, how do you sleep at night?
Man.
How do you sleep at night knowing you playing people who are differently able? And you out here just, bop, boy, get off me.
It's amazing. Well, no, history has shown that people are trash. That's
if we ain't nothing else as a society of human beings,
we are trash. Like, how do you
How do you, you're right. Like, how do you sleep at night? How do you think about the people's faces that you just did all that to?
Absolutely. Because they don't get to go back and play those games. Like, No, that's it.
That's it.
I don't even, when I used to hoop many moons ago, it wouldn't even be fun to me if the teams were unevenly balanced.
Right.
If you got like, okay.
Like height and.
Yeah, if we're like dominant, like I would prefer to play against people who should beat us. But if I had like, there's 10 hoopers and like four are really hooping, let's spread them and get two or three on one and two or three on the other.
Yeah.
Not four against, you know what I'm saying? So you just run to the court. These people sat up there and was like, but nah, though.
But see, this is how you know this would happen in a different country and not here, and that there were no black mamas on these teams. Because I would have been like, nope. Nope, I already know. I can tell that boy right there ain't nothing wrong with him. Pull him. Pull him up off the court. No, I would have known. I've been like, my baby been special for a long time. I know how to read special. And he ain't.
When your kids are, were your kids good at all sports?
That no. No. And I'm not the mom just that's just saying anything. Like, oh, you can do it. I'm like, do better. Do better. Stop all that crying. That's me. That's me.
Listen, I yell a lot because Joe is good at soccer. Bless his heart. Mm-hmm. Isaiah playing basketball. Whew, Jesus. Let me show you what he did, Angel. Joshy, yes. go to my wife. My son. I know, I'm about to stand up.
Yeah, he wants you to go to the wide.
My son shooting free throws was jumping. Okay? Let me show you what he looked like.
It's Isaiah. Okay? Free throw, ball. Okay? Dribble, dribble, dribble.
Yes!
Okay, Angel, 2 feet up.
When he crossed them hands over and did this, I said, take him out. And what happened was I used to practice with him in our hoop out in the front yard. Mm-hmm. I'm like, first of all, why are you jumping?
Because it makes sense.
He never jumped. As a fan, you ain't never seen me jump for a free throw. Why are your arms doing this? He was like, it felt farther during the game. I feel like, mind you, this ball banging against the backboard. Boom. I said, Jesus. This team, that was a tough season. Before I was on, I went to every game. This team, they used to get the scoreboard turned off on them. Because you know you get blown out by 34. They're like, the kids can't take this.
They can't see anything.
Turn it off. Isaiah's hand-eye coordination, bless his heart, I love him. Non-existent. He's fast. And he hustled, which is all I ever asked of my baby. He stole this doggone basketball and dribbled out of bounds every time. Bumping into they have the padding.
Yeah.
So you don't hurt. Bumping into that. I was like, listen. Get him out. Turn this off.
Kai, who could shoot really well, was doing, I don't know if he was doing thriller choreography down the court. He'd be da-da-da, no ball. Just da-da-da. And we'd be like, run, Kai. And he'd look up at us. Oh. Looking silly face. And then Cy, the entire season, we didn't know this until they gave out their participation trophies. The entire season, his coach thought he was a girl. He said, he was giving out the things. He was like, oh, you know. Now this young lady, she hustled the whole season. Really tried, always had a smile on her face. He was like, this trophy goes to Cy Tanksley. And I said, he's a boy. When I tell you that coach avoided me afterwards. And I ran, did you think my child was a girl the whole season?
Is that when they had the man bun?
He had locks. And then I was sometimes put up in a ponytail. I said, did you think my baby was a girl the whole season? He said, I did. Look, this young lady is going to blossom into a gorgeous woman.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I was like, it's a boy. It is a boy. That's what Cy was like, cut these
things
off.
Was Kai and Cy on the same team?
Yes.
And the coach would never thought, he thought they were fraternal twins?
He thought, well, they are fraternal twins.
I mean, you're right, they are.
But he thought it was a boy-girl twins. But I'm just like, oh, that is a boy.
That's hilarious.
That is a
Isaiah
boy.
Isaiah was good at track, though. Bless his heart. Because when you take the ball away and it's just pure speed,
he got
now
it.
Now he back to winning. So I ain't going to throw him all the way under the bus. But hooping, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, Lil Marcus, he gets so frustrated because he's not. Oh, watching him was also painful as well. Just no hustle about him. We're like, what's going on? I remember one time he tried to bust out crying because they had made him switch teams because the other team didn't have enough players. So I already knew. I was like, my baby's not the one that you needed to do this to, because now he don't know who his teammates are. He don't know where he's supposed to shoot. So he starts crying. And my husband, what he don't play is you crying and not playing. You can cry, but you better play through the tears. Right. I'm the same way. So he goes down there, and he's like, Marcus, pull together. Woman, white lady comes down, because you know they got to save folk. Marcus, it's okay. Shut up. That's my husband. I got this. This is my son.
My mom's like, okay. My son's basketball team was so bad. We start off with 10, 12 all trash players. So what happened is in the YMCA league, they kept the other good teams together. Mm-hmm. So they made a new team. It's like, all y'all new and y'all all suck. Y'all going to be on this team. Start off with 10. We down to 7. The coach quits. He was like, honestly, guys, I thought things would be different. I'm going to see y'all later. By the time the last 4 games, there's 4 people on the team.
Oh, wow.
3 people on the team. We playing teams better than us, and they're fielding 5 players. We got 3. Oh, God. I literally would be across the field, like, you know, because our kids would get tired. Mm-hmm. I say, y'all going to play all 5 when we got 3. Oh, y'all going to, all game. First quarter, until the coach was finally like, okay, just put 3 in there. All game, y'all going to play with the better players, all of y'all. Everybody gonna be over there? Okay, I see how y'all gonna make my baby suffer. It was terrible. But let's take a quick break and listen to our sponsors.
All right. You guys know that I'm talented.
We all know that.
Okay. So is Cam, so is Josh, but there are a lot of things that we don't know. And it's so great, and we're so grateful for places like Skillshare that allow you to be part of a community of creatives where you can learn so many different new skills or just enhance the ones you already have. You can witness a transformation by taking small steps, and they turn into giant leaps. Yes.
You know who also is skilled?
Who?
Steph Curry.
He's on skill.
He just DM'd me.
You're lying.
What? I'm dead serious.
What? My life.
I'm not.
Steph?
What are you talking about?
Steph Curry just DM'd me, and he's super skilled. He said, man, y'all don't miss. Just a little appreciation message for the great, great door content. Mission on you, bro.
What?
Steph is skilled because he uses Skillshare to practice his basketball.
We're not positive, but he may or may not. 50-50.
Listen, I am sure.
And we're not going to ruin that.
Listen, I know his wife be cooking, and I'm sure.
I'm sure she used that.
On Skillshare.
I'm sure they stumbled on it once or twice.
I'm sure.
I was going to talk about a class that I'm doing on productivity.
Talk about it.
Yes, for creatives, because as a creative, and especially as an entrepreneur, you sometimes have to schedule out stuff, and you don't know how to do it. And there's an actual class that help you find out how to be more productive in your day as a creative. And they have so many recommended classes, as well as a great search bar for you to be able to find things. I actually am putting, I can't tell y'all, but I took a class on making cocktails out of a certain ingredient. Skillshare had it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is, yes. Wow. It's amazing. You hearing me? It is so
You
dumb.
Hear me.
You hearing me. Okay. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and a support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. There's nothing better than getting better. Accomplishing growth is extremely satisfying. Do something today that you couldn't do yesterday with classes designed for real life. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. And an annual subscription is less than $10 a month.
Only 10?
Less than, honey. $10 a month. So explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/SK.
SK!
And get a free trial of premium membership. Again, explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/SK.
SK!
And get a free trial membership of premium
premium level membership. That's Skillshare.com/SK.
SK.
Now, I'm going to tell y'all what, though. Okay? Let me talk about it. We're going to talk about this public. Okay?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
What?
Not what I thought you were about to say.
What y'all thought I was going to talk about?
About this. Look at who you came to see.
Public. I'm so sorry. Public. Okay, because they're not trading what y'all think on public.
They sure ain't.
The stock market, well, can you see me, guys? Here I am. The stock market is made for public trading, so it should be more accessible for everyone. That's why we've joined public.com, the investing social network where you can buy stocks for any amount of money and share ideas with a community of investors. So what's great is that Public's mission is making investing exclusive, educational, and fun. This is the part that really usually is people's like hang up or stumbling block with investing, is that if you don't know much about it, it feels like you are reading a different language. It feels like you can't really understand it. But Public makes it so that you can go in and feel confident about the things that you're doing, as well as feel as though you're a part of a community that is trying to help educate you. And then it's fun because you don't want to do something that's just going to add more stress to you.
You don't want to do that, Angel.
You don't. So that's one of the things that I love about it. And what's great is, like, so there was another platform that I will not name that kept getting a lot of hot water, right? And I didn't feel like they were invested in the people that were using its platform to invest.
Yeah.
Where I do feel like with Public, it's not just there to help you trade stocks. It's there to help you feel to be more educated.
Absolutely, Angel.
About trading stocks. And like I said, to enjoy doing it. The app is free. Oh, and also you can follow people on the app. So so if you are following somebody, you can see their portfolio. You kind of see how they're moving, so that if you are trying to like understand how people operate in investing, you have people there that you can follow.
That's right.
The app is free to use, and there's no account minimum to get started. With a fraction investing, you can buy slices of stock at any amount of money versus full shares. So you can get something for as little as a dollar.
Oh, a dollar?
Yes. Just one?
Nice.
Yes, $1. Public takes the responsible approach. They don't promote risky or gambling-like behavior.
They sure don't, Angel. They ain't going to play around with that.
None of that.
Offer complex trading tools to beginners, and they don't encourage day trading. Come on, somebody. They are trying to.
They're looking out for the people.
Yes. 74% of their community considers themselves to be long-term investors. Public prides itself on transparency and won't sell your data to market makers and third
parties. Thank you, Public.
Mm-hmm. And breakthrough financial institution that wants you to spend more money and profit from your information. They don't. They not. It's break free from
speak,
all
speak,
that.
Speak.
Sorry. Listen, y'all. I was saying the wrong words, but you understand what I'm saying.
Angel.
They not trying to profit from your information is what I'm saying. So go to public.com/SK to follow us on public.com. See what we're investing in. You can start investing today with as little as $1. You'll get a free slice of stock when you join. Just go to public.com/SK and download the public.com app.
Download that.
Mm. Yeah. Valid for U.S. residents 18 or older, subject to account approval. See public.com/disclosures, not investment advice.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Thank you to our sponsors. Make sure to check the link in Zibio. To support them, because we are obviously never going to be monetized on YouTube.
Ever.
So this is how you support us. All right.
One day we might. One day we might do good by what we're supposed to do.
One day we might do good by YouTube. Mm-hmm. We've had this in the docket for a while, but it kept getting pushed down, but it cannot get pushed down no more. Virgil Abloh, okay? He started off as Kanye's creative director, I guess.
Oh, okay.
You could call him, right, Josh?
For his clothing?
I don't know his origin.
For the slavery clothes?
No. Before that.
Okay.
Slavery clothes.
He was in Kanye's creative camp somehow when people were still rocking with Kanye.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't know about this. Later on, he left. But he's most known for Off-White.
Right.
And he had another streetwear thing.
Keeping it two Virgils.
Keeping it two Virgils. Mm-hmm. Definitely he's known for.
The $50 thing, yeah.
Now, he is the head of Louis Vuitton Men.
Okay, now.
Virgil is basically doing the same thing. Same thing that the lady was doing with the $1.2 million, he's doing with the Louis Vuitton money. This man done made, and Josh gonna put this up, he done made a airplane purse.
Yes, he did.
I'm sorry, an airplane bag.
Yes, he did.
Literally. A man bag that is in the shape of what looks like a cargo plane for the U.S. Air Force.
Yes. Looks like a C-130.
Look like a C-130, mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Globemaster 3. This bag, Angel Tanksley.
Tell me.
Costs $39,000.
What are the thread made of? Like the hair from cherubs?
It's leather.
There is no animal skin that is that unicorn leather.
Look at it, Angel.
I'm looking at this stupid bag.
Where are you going to put stuff in?
It's the smallest thing. The wings, you can't put maybe cigarettes. You can put some cigarettes in the wings.
Loose. They got to be loosey.
Loose leaf cigarettes. Okay, and then you can put a water bottle in the body of it. You spent $3,900 to
thousand Angel.
$39,000 to keep your water bottle in something shaped like a plane.
My thing is this, and this is kind of what always messes with my mind. My first good job, mm-hmm. Bank of America, mm-hmm. I made $30,000 a year. I bragged so hard because I was like, y'all counting hourly. Couldn't be me. $30K a year. When I counted the hourly, I was like, it ain't really that much more.
You break it down, you're like, that can't be right.
Melissa was making $35 a year. Okay. So our friend, you know, I worked at Bank of America 3 years. She worked at KeyBank for like 6, I believe. Ooh. I've never got a raise at Bank of America. I got bonuses and then they went away and they was just like, man, hush. That bag cost more than I made in 2006.
And it don't fly.
And it...
That's the thing. I'd be like, does it fly though? Can I fly it to Spain? I might not be on there, but I can fly it and fly it back. It don't fly.
It's not a carry-on.
You know how dumb you look in line at the plane with that? You can't put it above you?
You're bumping into everything.
Oh.
Excuse me.
I just...
Then he made a carrot...
A carrot?
Like a carrot knapsack.
Oh, I didn't see this one.
Purse. Not about half the size of Baby Yo. Mm-hmm. It's basically like a Louis Vuitton carrot coin purse.
Let me see this. Louis Vuitton.
Carrot coin purse. Let me just say this. Y'all remember Devil Wears Prada?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say this, and you could say what you want about me. I don't understand high fashion.
Neither do the people who put it together.
I'm, what's her name? Anne Hathaway?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Anne Hathaway's character. Remember when they was putting the belt on and she was like, she laughed. And she was like, you know, Meryl Streep was like, oh, you think this is funny? This is cerulean military garments. And then you got that little sweater out of the bottom of a roust or something like mm-hmm. that. I was still like, a lot of the high fashion stuff, I seen one Josh sent me. The dude was wearing a city skyline.
Yes, I saw.
It was a city.
It was a sweater.
It was a sweater that was literally up here.
It's the dumbest thing I have ever seen. And I think sometimes, now listen, there have been very few times that I have seen something that has been more costly and felt it and been like, oh, I feel where the money is being spent.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I'm like, people have lost their mind.
Everlasting.
To pay as much or to even dare put the price tag on these things. I'm just like, this is not cute.
Well, and that's my thing. Like, and I'm genuinely asking, I'm not even trying to be funny. Are they like designed? Are they designed to be worn by regular people? Are they designed to influence the rest? Like, what is the point, I guess, of high fashion? Because it doesn't look like the point is for regular people to wear it.
I guess so it's for celebrities? I think it might be the exact same thing as, like, high-priced art.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There is a there can be an extrinsic value to it if it's
that word means
an outward benefit.
Oh, the opposite of intrinsic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there can be an extrinsic value to certain things if it's like visually pleasing, if it makes that makes it intrinsic. So I feel like there's way more intrinsic value, but then it's just like, then why with intrinsic value, it's hard to actually justify whatever price you're putting on it.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like when, that's why the arts is so hard to be funded, because a lot of it is intrinsic. It's about how it makes the person feel. So you just like, how am I paying? How you gonna tell me how much a feeling cost?
Right.
So with these ugly purses, I'm like, does it make you feel a certain way? Because it's ugly on the outside. It's ugly.
So the Patreon is saying that it's not wearable. It is art. It is it's not designed for regular people. It's art, it's collectibles. Avant-garde, which is one of my favorite words. Avant-garde is not to wear. So the point is for ego. So that makes me feel better that it's not. Well,
then why are we spending money on it, and why does it exist?
Okay, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Is it to draw attention to Louis Vuitton, right? Because before that bag thing or in the care thing, I hadn't thought about Louis Vuitton in a while. Is it designed to be like, oh, Louis Vuitton did this bold thing, now I'll go buy their regular purse or the regular wallet or something like that? Do you think that's the point of high fashion? I don't know.
Do you go buy the stuff? Because?
No. I just be like, this is crazy.
I don't know. I don't know. That is not what moves me.
What moves you? How do you decide what you're going
to
wear?
Do I think I'm going to be cute in it? I don't care if it's $5 or $500. Am I about to be cute? That's what a guy am. The canvas.
Ah, you better talk about it, Angel.
Listen, so if the paint don't look good on me, I don't want it. I don't. But it can look good on me from Target, or it can look good on me from Nordstrom.
Listen,
but it got to look good on me.
Goodfellow, Josh put me on. Goodfellow has a $5 black tee with a little pocket that I have probably bought 30 of them. Now, they don't last many washes. You probably get about 6 washes.
You start losing that bottom part of the pocket.
It falls apart. But that black with a black jean,
mm-hmm.
Listen, that's the best $5. Goodfellow make a good jean, too. It ain't going to hold you.
You're so stupid.
Goodfellow make a good jean.
I just got Marcus some black t-shirts in a pack, like to go, you know, to wear to go to sleep from Walmart. I can't remember what brand. He said, now, wait a second.
Oh, that Fruit in the Loom.
He was like, I'm not used to wearing, he's not used to wearing a shirt with pockets. He said, but this feel real good. I said, listen, don't go to sleep on them.
Nah, man. My kids grew up on, what was Walmart's?
Geranimals.
No, the little bit older. It's not Merino.
Bosomo.
That's Target.
That's Target.
That's when they
Bosomo, they definitely have it. They got that. They got Jack and Jill.
Because my kids is in some Jack and Jill.
Well, my boys is in that. H&M. Faded Glory.
Uh-huh.
Faded Glory. Them Frederick's boys was Faded in that Glory. Faded Glory for years.
Faded Glory.
Faded Glory, 579.
I was in the Hanes sweats from there, too. Those $5 sweats.
Absolutely.
Merino, Massimo.
I still love it. Shoot.
Cat and Jack. That's the one from Target.
I said, yeah, I agree with you. I was like, Jack and Jill. Yes, they are. Cat and Jack. My kids got a whole bunch of Cat and Jack.
Listen, so Zay's starting school back.
He ain't, but yeah.
Right. They've been pushing this back every week for the last 6 weeks. Girl, it's finna be May.
Right.
It's gonna be May. It's gonna be Actually, May. It is May now when we're watching
this. When they're seeing
it. It's finna be June.
Yeah.
But we realize he have not had no school clothes purchased in a calendar year.
Yeah.
Right? Almost longer than a calendar year. Usually we buy him school clothes in August, and then he's grown out of those by Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and then Christmas, you know, he's probably grown out of those by April, but we're not finna do it again.
Right. No.
So Arizona from JCPenney's also, we used to buy a lot.
Yes.
Morona from Target. That was
Morona. Listen, Levi's has a Target brand. I feel like it's called Denizen.
Yes.
Denizen, right?
Yeah, you're right. Uh-huh. I have to look
Denizen down to the Target. I still shop
at Target.
I didn't know that. I thought that was people stopping to stop.
Well, people thought I would be down on Rodeo Drive, and I say, "Oh, come on, guys!
I mean, you be on some old bougie stuff.
I don't be down to Rodeo every day.
Kev doesn't make the drive down there.
Listen, it if it's not for fittings for television shows where they put me in higher end stuff, I would not ever.
What's the most high end thing you've ever worn?
I don't know. Half the time, I don't even know the name of it, but I know I can't afford it based off of the price tag. I'll be like, oh, this is $25 for a shirt.
You got to give it back or something, right?
Oh, yeah. It ain't never mind. They put it in my dressing room. I put it on, do the scene. I take it off, hang it back up.
Speaking of that, I'm sick of this. Go to my single, Josh. Let me tell you something. Tell me when you're on me.
It's on.
I'm about to say something.
But let's say something to the sponsor first. Did we do all of them?
This would be a good time.
Say something to the sponsor, and I'm going to tell you how I feel when we come back.
Y'all know I love some wine. Y'all see me on Crafts and Cocktails, honey. I like a good drink. And actually, we just had some of this on The Bald and the Beautiful, Bright Cellars.
Yeah, okay. So good.
And they are a sponsor of today's episode. It is a wine service that helps you find wines you'll love while making wine more accessible to everyone. Whether you're new to wine, the wine world, or you've been drinking wine for years, Bright Cellar pairs you with unique wines using their crazy accurate algorithm. Takes about 30 second quiz. You take about a 30 second quiz and let the wine magic happen, and they'll pair you with 6 wines to fit your taste profile. They sent me my box, and let me tell you, we tried the French Chambrun.
That's how they pronounce it.
Mm-hmm. It's something like that. It's a white wine. I would have never thought to try it. If I would have went to like one of the wine stores,
if it was recommended, I'd be like, I don't know. I just stick with what I know.
Yes.
And we would have missed out on a great wine.
And it was really good. It fit my palate perfectly. And I know, especially for a lot of our viewers, we be having the thing we like, and mm-hmm. that's what we go to. But you want to be able to be a little more diverse.
Yeah. With
it, especially when the world opened up.
Yeah, you do.
You want to be able to be like, yeah, so you want to try this French chambrum that I can't pronounce? It's delicious. Bryce Ellis and their sommeliers source their wines from all over the world to ensure each box has a wine that you have not tried. Plus, they have a wine education card so that you can learn more about the wine tasting notes, serving temperature, and know what food pairs well with your wine. Mm-hmm. Perfect for a date night or finding the best wine to pair a Netflix binge with. Now, that is the part I do love, the little education cards, because, you know, sometimes you just be drinking and be eating like Doritos.
Yeah.
That don't pair well.
It don't go with Doritos.
It'll be like, oh, you have this with some salmon? And I'll be like, salmon, I will.
A little salmon. A little salmon go a long way.
You can always switch it up with the amount of reds and whites. If you're a seasonal wine drinker, you can skip an order whenever you want. The best part is that if you don't like a bottle of wine, Bright Cellars will work with you to include a replacement bottle in your next order. To top it all off, Bright Cellar members also get access to premium, sustainable, sparkling, and biodynamic wines. All right. So here's the thing, listeners. We're giving you 50% off your first 6 bottle orders from Bright Cellars. Head to brightcellars.com/HTT.
HTT.
That's Bright Cellars, BRIGHTCELLARS.com/HTT.
HTT.
To receive 50% off your first 6 bottles.
50%?
That's half off.
That's very generous, Bright Cellars.
Thank you so much. Help support the show by supporting Bright Cellars and get 50% off your first order at brightcellars.com/HTT.
HTT. Now we're back from the sponsors. Let me tell you what, Hollywood. Ain't no way Angel Lakita Tanksley, the actress, should not be filthy rich and famous. Okay? Melissa McCarthy, whom I love. This is not against Melissa. Angel should have had Melissa McCarthy career. She should have had her Mike and Molly, or what was it called?
Yep, that's right.
She should have had her sitcom. She should have had her doggone, not Girls Trip, Bridesmaids.
Oh, wow.
And she should have been, okay, now I've done my comedies, and now I'm going over my drama, and then I should have a movie with Octavia Spencer. Now, Hollywood, I'm going to give y'all about 6 months. Y'all better figure it out. This woman is the most talented person I know, and I know a lot of people.
Can you imagine Bridesmaids Starring Angel?
Listen, Josh, let me tell you what. The only thing that I take solace in is a lot of people didn't pop till they was 37, 40, 45. Steve Carell didn't get The Office till he was about 44. Mm-hmm. The only thing that gives me solace, because I can see myself. You know, they don't book Kev. I heard my own auditions. I understand. Angel should be on a sitcom for 7 years to where she shouldn't have to work again. And then she should be like the Al Bundy guy on Modern Family. I don't know his real name. Ed something. Angel should be the star. But then when they leave that, they ain't known for only that. Jason Bateman, you should have had his career too. Angel could have had Jason Bateman's career. Start on Arrested Development in a comedy.
Jason Bateman is a child actor.
Outside of that, I forgot about that. I didn't know that until a little while ago, by the way. I had no idea.
And
I saw those movies. He just wasn't like, oh, that's Jason Bateman. Mm-hmm. But Jason Bateman was funny in Arrested Development, even though he plays a straight man all the time. And I don't think that's your thing. I need you to be funny wild.
Yeah.
Then she was funny in The Breakup. But then he also could go serious in Ozark or Game Night or something. I think it was Game Night.
Uh-huh.
But he's always playing a straight man. But my point is Angel should be just, she should be getting them same roles. And Hollywood, you have squandered. Bit role here, guest star, recurring.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, this one need to be number one on the call sheet.
Thank you.
She need to have her team saying, oh, this trailer won't do. Not for Angel, and I'm sick of it. Now, until y'all get your act together, we're going to be over here using her on Kev On Stage Studios app as much as we can.
I'm going to be here.
But when y'all, and I love Angel.
Thank you, sir.
But my love for Angel is, hey, Kev, I done booked it. I done booked it. My hair is straight now. I prepared. Listen, Angel is but a bird. A talented bird. I cannot cage her talent. Angel existed before me. She going to exist after me. It will make it. Now, she ain't going to be replaced on this podcast. We're going to have to shoot on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. No,
Monday morning.
That is
bonus
you tried to rebel. Burn I'm this not going to.
Oh, why would I try? By the time you on that pod, on that show, I'm going to be like, and now who is her co-host? Put me on the billboard and she also do little podcasts. Put me on the corner. I'll purchase the bottom right corner for the sunset thing. I ain't never going to replace you.
Billboard, like.
I'm going to But I'm sick of it, y'all. I'm done. It is a travesty. I told Angel this. This ain't nothing new. I called her randomly. I was at JoJo's soccer practice.
And I was like, I am upset. I was
literally like in my car, like, this is wrong. This is wrong. I want to say this. Angel have her friends blow up and she ain't never been pissed.
No.
She'd be just as happy. She'll help you book the audition and all this and that here. And I'm sick of it. I am doggone tired of Hollywood. I am furious that Angel has not been. Look, I love Tiffany Haddish. This is not against Tiffany. I know it's like your homegirl. The way Tiffany burst on the scene with Girls Trip, and I mean burst like mainstream burst. She was already on the Carmichael Show. She was already killing it in stand-up. But for the majority of people, they didn't know who she was. Girls Trip, you need that.
I agree. I want it.
Shoot.
I'm going to have it. Kevin be getting so mad.
Here's my problem.
Here's the thing, right?
It's one thing. This is why it's like frustrating. It's one thing if it's like, oh, this person is just better. Like Kanye has a lyric. Dang, these niggas that much better than me? It's one thing if they are. Like, that's why I have no problem with the NBA. I played basketball. I played it a lot of my life. I was never going to be them.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, and you ain't got to say it, I'm going to say it for you. I know you watch these movies, you'd be like, I know. I mean, come on. Y'all ain't going to just cast any old body but me.
No, I don't.
You should. I do.
I know it has more to do. I know it has more than talent to do with
it. Well, that's the other problem. The biggest problem is the color of your skin. There's not enough roles where, I mean, look, there's this old thing that they've said about Black Hollywood, usually reserved for Black male comedians. It's one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
One comedian, Eddie. Mm-hmm. And Eddie was Martin mm-hmm. or Bill Cosby or Cat, mm-hmm. Kevin Hart, Lil Rel. Like, Hollywood really be that. But for white people, 3,000.
And they'd be looking the same.
I'll be like, now who is you and you? Listen. You, Kirsten, Kirsten, Christy.
There was a movie about Fox News with about Megyn Kelly. It was three white women. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at them. I said, now you're telling me this is... These are separate white women? What, you know what movie I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, I feel like it was Charlize Theron. Oh, it didn't do well. Oh, my God. What was this movie called? Bombshell. Look up the doggone. It's Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, and Margot Robbie.
One of them's coming out. Oh, it's hanging out all over the place.
Bombshell, Angel.
Oh, yes, I saw this one, I like said, Amazon hold on. Prime or something. And I was like, oh, they just put the same woman's face over and over. Nicole Kidman, Charlize Theron, and Margot somebody.
Robbie.
No, that's what Kirsten Dunst, Kirsten Bell, and one other one. I'm like, they just spun
Zoe
out the
Zoe Deschanel has a sister, Emily Deschanel.
Yes, they she look really? Just alike.
Yes! One was in Bones, I believe, and the other was in New Girl.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
They look that just alike.
That is sisters.
I can literally picture it now.
You see how they look just alike.
I said, man, what?
Listen, put the same face
I'm
on another
sick
channel.
Of it, man. I hate it here.
That's all good. It's all good.
I'm sorry.
It will
and
burn.
You just went out on a rant.
I just mean like.
You're wearing the hoodie.
Well, and when you audition for that other show. Baby
but
Yoda.
Listen, hopefully by the time this airs, I will have had something.
That's
and you'll
true.
Be like,
it's not enough. Okay. They, you need movie
start.
Reparations.
It's a start.
Though. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll
but
take
that's
it.
The one thing, though, that I know about your career, and I know this for sure. One thing I know, and two's for sure. Once that thing happened, they're going to be like, who's this? Oh, get her on the horn.
Newcomer. Get I'll be on. Like, after 15 years?
After 15 years. It's going to be an overnight success. Let me tell you what, it was a long night.
It was the longest night ever.
And I'm going to be like, Amar, that's your mom. He going to be like, what's up, Uncle Kev? You want to smoke? I'll be like, Amar, you don't smoke. You're three. He was like, you right. All right, I'm hot now.
He's hot. Well, we've got a really special segment that we can't wait to show you all.
Oh, yes.
We have a fantastic artist, Rayana J. We talked about her in a previous podcast.
Friend of the pod,
Joshua Gonzalez. Introduced her to Kevin, and then they introduced her to me. She sounds amazing. And we're starting a new segment on this podcast every now and again. Give you a little hot 10, hot 15 of someone that we find interesting that we think you all would enjoy. So sit back and take a watch to our interview.
All right. Welcome back, guys. For our final segment, we are joined by the illustrious vocal talent, songwriter extraordinaire, Richmond, California, Bay right. Area finest, Rayana J. Welcome to the show, Rayana.
Oh my gosh, that was such a nice intro. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Of course. So if you guys don't know, we talked about this in a couple podcasts ago.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua Gonzalez sent me Rayana's album. Okay, mm-hmm. So if you're listening, okay. Let me give you the exact title of this album. Is it an album or an EP?
It's an EP.
Okay, the album, EP, I'm sorry, it's called Love Me Like, okay? It is seven songs, 21 minutes of pure bliss. It was my first plane album. When I get on the plane, mm-hmm. I put on R&B to calm down. Because I travel so much. So in the year it came out, 2019, for about 6 months, it was my love me like you're my last time. Love me like you're the one. Okay, so Rayana, I had described her voice as if you could hear a butterfly singing.
Yes.
That is what Rayana's voice sounds like to me. Rayana, welcome to the show. Tell us how you became the world's greatest singer-songwriter.
Please.
That's so dramatic, but I claim that. I'll take that. My story, I started in church. Like, that's what it that's was. What
another one.
I'm a church kid. I grew up going to a church in Richmond, California, where my great uncle was the pastor. My granny cooked for the church, and my auntie played the piano. So it was like a big family thing. And then as soon as I was old enough to be causing ruckus in the pews, they, like, put me in the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And from the choir, I grew up, I started directing the youth choir. And then when I was in high school, yes. that was me. then when I got to high school, I ended up getting an internship at this like media literacy program in Oakland called Youth Radio.
Mm.
And that's where I saw like my first actual professional studio. And then it finally clicked. And I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I think that was like in 2016, I made my first song called Marty McFly.
Mm.
The rest is history.
Is that when you left the Lord for the world?
This I was going to ask the same thing. I was going to ask, so when did you turn your back on Jesus? No.
When did I get in the world?
Yes.
No, y'all, I did not turn my back.
So, we picking with you. We picking. How old are you? Wait a minute. I just, so we can get this clear. How old are you?
27 years old.
Come on. She ain't nothing but another baby born in 1990. You won't even, you shouldn't be outside right now. You know how me and Angel, we got to care for Joshie and Bex. They be walking around all outside driving cars, born in the 90s.
And we're trying to hold my hand when I get on a flight. I'll be like,
yeah, I'll be like, Joshua, you sitting next to me.
Exactly. That's why man trying to take your peanuts. Videotaping this podcast with us. But go ahead and ask your question, Kev. Sorry.
So my thing, obviously, your voice is beautiful. Very light and airy. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yes. You know, but to me, the thing that really attracted me to your music was your songwriting. What is your process? Because when you sing, I am like, it's like when you read a good book.
Mm-hmm.
I am like, I am enveloped in this story. How, and there's a lot of artists. Look, this is not a dig. Music is a collaborative sport or a collaborative medium.
Yes.
So I'm not shading people, but it's not as common that singers are singing songs that they wrote. Mm-hmm. What's your process to write the songs you write?
It's such an ever-changing process. I know you guys were like talking about my TikToks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So for those are only like 30 seconds to a minute long. The guy who's making the music, he puts a little prompt up and I just kind of like free write based on what he's like saying to write about. And then I just make it all make sense there. But my usual process for writing songs is get into a toxic relationship.
That works.
Get my heart broken.
Mm-hmm.
Cry, write a hit. That's usually how it goes.
Okay.
You know what? That you can run that to a million.
Would it take seven heartbreaks for seven songs, or how does that break down?
It's like a heartbreaker EP.
So, heartbreaking EP.
That makes sense.
EP is a heartbreak. Yeah.
Adele, Taylor Swift, they'd be like, oh, you broke my heart? Platinum.
Lemonade. Beyonce.
Lemonade.
Opus. Mm-hmm. Jay-Z messed up. She said, wait until you see the genius that is Beyonce.
I ain't going to hold you. That is my favorite Beyonce project.
Because it's amazing.
It is. That's a
good
amazing.
One. That's a good one.
But before Beyonce was writing pop hits, then it was anthems, then in like self-titled, it was a little like my real life. Mm-hmm. Lemonade, it was like, this nigga think he gonna treat me any kind of way? I bet you won't. You ain't gonna have no what.
Yeah.
And we were like, I know Jay-Z was like, ooh, this is an amazing thing, but who are you upset? But then it's also a story because towards the end, she's like, all right, now get your act together because I love you. We got these kids.
And that's when I turned the album off.
You said, I'm not here for this.
Hey, get him out of here.
She said, uh-uh. Not with this foolishness.
So I was watching Invincible, and all of a sudden, Zazie Beetz' character is listening to your song.
She is. She has good taste.
She has great taste. What was it like to hear your music on TV? I mean, it's TV, but it's TV for us now.
Honestly, one of my favorite things is when my music gets picked up for shows. Because it's one of those things, like I grew up with my mom and my granny, and I can tell my granny, like, my music is doing this, like it's doing really well, but she can't understand it because she can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when the songs come on TV, I think like the first TV placement I got was like on Grown-ish.
Mm-hmm.
That was something she could see.
Yeah.
And then that made sense to her. So it's always tight to like hear my stuff on TV. But Invincible, I love animated series. Mm-hmm. I love superhero shows. And I've always like, I want to voice act in the future. So to hear my song on an animated TV show about superheroes, that was just tight. And it's like all a little cute couple. And
bringing tight back, by the way.
That it's never tight. Left.
Tight? It ain't as popular as it once was, though.
What?
Is it just the word tight.
Let it go.
Oh, I say tight all the time.
Yes. Tight. So who are your musical influences?
Good question.
It was a good question.
It's good.
Thanks.
One of my favorite questions. Amy Winehouse is number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She did, huh?
Yes, Angel.
She's gone
be with the Lord.
God rest her soul.
I'm so sorry.
God rest her soul.
She has gone on.
Mm. But go ahead.
Amy Winehouse, and that's where I get a lot of like my songwriting from, because the main thing I want people to get from my songwriting is honesty. I'm never going to write a lie.
Mm.
If I wrote it, I know it.
Yeah.
I lived it. I've been there. And I think that's really tight of her. Let me stop saying tight.
No, keep really it going. I love the word. I'm going to bring it back in my own vocab. Yeah. I like it.
Amy Winehouse, Sam Cooke. Mm-hmm. That was riding around with my granny, and she only had two CDs in the car. It was either BB and CC's Greatest Hits or Sam Cooke's Greatest Hits.
No in between.
Amy, Sam Cooke, Anita Baker.
Big fan.
Get out.
Why can't I be a big fan of? Why can't?
What? Yes, even.
When will the blacks let me be a fan? Why can't I find her late and love her?
You quit saying big fan.
I am a big fan.
When you stop saying big fan,
no.
Why can't I be a new big fan?
You can once you stop saying big fan.
Big fan.
But I need people to know that I'm a big fan.
Kev, you don't even know Anita Baker.
Oh,
that's so wild.
Wow, Kev.
Rayon, I already knew. In the streets, they talking, Kev.
It's true. I do be.
And Stevie Wonder. That's my last one.
Stevie Wonder. We were talking about this on the podcast. We want Stevie Wonder to have a D'Angelo and Friends type versus. Like, don't put Stevie against nobody. Just let Stevie have 3 hours and tell us the stories and play his songs.
Absolutely.
I would be ready. Because I don't think anybody alive matches up with him music. Who do you put against Stevie Wonder?
They're dead.
They're dead.
Who dead would have been a good match?
Right. They won't see eye to eye.
I mean, this is terrible, but I was going to say Ray.
What happened?
What's wrong with Josh?
Why would you? Who?
Don't you
why
say
would
what?
You say that?
What happened?
What did you say, Angel? Who?
Ray Charles.
No, they don't match up.
Ray, yes, they do. He's got bangers.
No,
they might.
They don't match. He has bangers, but I don't think his musical style matches Stevie.
Well, we thought the same thing with Snoop and DMX.
But at least they were both hip hop.
Okay, so what is Ray and Stevie?
I thought Ray is like, isn't he considered a jazz musician?
Blues?
You don't know. I don't know either. Rayana, here's my question. Another question. We ain't going to hold you long.
Oh, Stevie Smokey. Okay, go ahead.
You are equally talented singing and songwriting. Do you prefer one or the other?
Oh. Do I prefer one over the other? If I had to pick one to do for the rest of my life, it would be songwriting.
That makes sense. Yeah, I can get into it.
Yeah. Singing is cool, but sometimes you don't always want to do all that. Sometimes you just want to write your songs and go.
Do you ever write songs for other artists?
I have before, and I want to get into that more this year and in the years after.
That's dope. Actually, yeah, that was a question I wanted to ask about your placement. Are you involved in that process, or does somebody from your team just be like, yo, we got your song placed on this show? Or can you be like, I don't like that show, don't get it placed? Or how does that work?
I get an email sent directly to me like, what's up, Rayana? This show wants to use this song at this part of the show. Let me know how you feel about that. And I can say, hey, that's great. Or I can pass.
I didn't know you could pass.
Yeah, I could pass. I can always pass.
Nice.
It's like with, what's that man that said it? Cisco. You remember when he said, when people want a sample, it's not the same thing, but like you have ownership over how and when your stuff is used.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, like if they hit me to do some wild show with things that I just do not agree with, no, you can't use my song. Get out.
Got it. When I meant how long you've been in business, I know you said 2016. Do you count that as the beginning of your career, or do you count when you signed with a label, your first EP? Like, how do you classify your career?
The beginning of my career was when I dropped my song Sleepy Brown. That was like my first big song that was actually released in a in an actual release method, you know, and that's the first song that got picked up by major blogs and yeah, that's when I count my career.
How did you find her, Josh? Because you just sent me the album and I was like, okay, and I pressed play and I was like,
our good Egyptian friend Amir Abassi.
Of course. Just so you guys know, Amir is the person that Josh loves more than me.
That is true.
No, true. Joshua, don't you lie.
That person was,
but at least one person outside of his mom and dad, maybe his brother. Oh, Derek, my brother.
He turned his back on me.
But Amir, that's his boy. Oh, Amir, blame the label. I love him. But Amir is a lovable guy.
Who are your, who do you consider your contemporaries, or who are you a current like fan of?
Who am I a fan of?
Yeah, either current, like who are your, either the people who are like now out here making music, who would you listen to?
People right now who are making it, her.
Her's trying to, she's turning a little page of sexy. She's going a little more like, I'm sexy too. Don't just think I'm a savant. Her ladies, she just dropped a song last night. And at the GIF, I was like, hey, now, well, what you doing over
you
there?
You a little girl, stop doing it.
I thought you was in the glasses up. And stuff.
Her, who else?
Ari Lennox.
Big fans of Ari here on the pod.
Giveon is so good.
He's good.
Brent Faiyaz, like I really like a lot of the people who are coming up right now.
That's why I would say a lot of times people who are old, born in the 80s, R&B is dead. R&B is in a good place to me. There's a lot of good R&B artists, big and small.
I wish they got more play.
Oh yeah, I do too. But I don't blame them.
Oh no, I don't blame it on them. I've realized that I don't be knowing anybody because they're not playing them.
Yeah.
Where I feel like in the 90s, R&B artists were more accessible. Yeah.
Before we let
it's not the popular genre anymore.
It's not.
What'd she say?
She said it's not the popular genre anymore.
I know.
Dang, that's true. That's
I'm going to start rapping.
Start rapping.
Start rapping.
Beyonce's, she's about to release a single solo rap album. People in her camp have told me. So I believe it. Before we let you go, Rihanna J, guys, download her album. I love Love Me Like. She also has the Love Me Like sessions on her YouTube page, which is Rihanna J. It's very stripped down a la Tiny Desk. So check that out. But before we let you go, Rihanna, where can people find you? What should they look forward to? Tell them about yourself.
Okay. So if you want to find me, Twitter, Instagram, all the things, it's at Rihanna J. That's RayanaJay. I hope y'all got that. Rewind it if you need to.
Rewind it.
And then as far as what I got coming up next, I just dropped a song called Last Call. I got another song coming out, and then there is an EP on the way. I will tell y'all that.
EP on the way.
So you just broke up with somebody?
You know me.
Thank you so much, Rihanna, for stopping by with us. You guys check her out. And that does it for today's episode.
Yes.
Patreon, we love you. Thank you for watching this live. The rest of you guys, we also love you. I don't ever want you to feel bad. I know it always comes across like that. Like, oh, we not Patreon. I love everybody. Just love Patreon a little bit more. All right, y'all. Peace.
Bye.
Thank you, Rihanna. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right.
Here's another thing of fire. Here's another one, yeah. Here's another bang of fire. Here's another one, yeah. Here's another bang of fire. Fire, here's another bang of fire. With my boy Kev on stage and that chick Angel.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again. After last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.